Let's gavel. Hey, 1Ls, how you doing? Welcome to law school. This one's for you. Law school is 3 years. 1L is year one. 2L is year two. 3L is, you guessed it, year three.
Right. It seems self-explanatory, but honestly, didn't know that or didn't know I would be called by those titles until I entered law school.
Yeah. Day one, so, they were like, you're a 1L. I'm like, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I was like, I guess it's all about learning the law, like literally learning the law, learning who you are as like a little baby law student, soon to be mm-hmm. lawyer.
The biggest thing you're learning is how to IRAC. You know, right. Issue, fact, rule, analysis, conclusion. First 3 months, everyone's like, IRAC, IRAC. And you're like, I think I know what that is, but I don't even know.
Right. Literally, IRACing is a way to organize like a summary. Like, it's a way to summarize something, right? Is that the most basic way you can explain that? Like,
yeah, it's literally a way to summarize a case. But the reason it's important is that translates into your framework when you are practicing as a lawyer. You know, a person comes in with a set of facts. You need to be able to pinpoint the legal issues, find the applicable law, and then analyze the person's case based on that law, and then come up with a conclusion, which ends up being your advice. So it translates. Yeah. It's just you don't realize that when you're, you know, a 1L.
No, you don't know like why you're learning something. It's like when you learn math for the first time, you know, and everyone's like, I'm never going to use this. Like, why am I learning this? And obviously, well, surprise, surprise, but you actually do math in law as well. Like I do math all the time, actually, in community right. property, like when I'm doing stuff for cases. So yeah, I think too, you use IRAC when you're like speaking to judges, you know, like you mm-hmm. kind of break down the law in that way. You're like, this is why I'm here. This is the issue. Like, these are the facts that go with that. This is how, why, you know, this is how I'm analyzing this. And this is why I think you should conclude and rule in my yeah. favor. Right.
Yeah.
So same thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But again, like when you're starting out, it's just, like what? Say what now? Reel it back.
Right.
So we get
it. I'm a 1L.
Yeah. I'm a 1L. Wait.
Yeah. It's cute. It's fun. It's like the yeah. newbies, you know, on campus. Like everyone can spot you because you look lost. You look like yeah. you can't figure out. You don't know what's going on. You look like a deer in headlights, and that's okay. Like that's we've okay. all been there, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
And it's like really giddy. I felt really giddy really quick. Our 1L got interrupted by COVID. So we like towards the end of our first year, not our first semester, it was like the first year, the last month or something, we yeah. like went remote. But the whole time leading up to that, I feel like I was so giddy the whole time. Like, yeah, it was hard, but it was like new people, new experiences, you know? Did you feel
that? Yeah, you're kind of just like, the whole time. It's a pinch me moment, no? Like the whole year, you're kind of just like, oh my gosh. It's so many emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different ways of, oh my gosh, you're feeling. And yeah, it's crazy. I feel like it's important.
What was an oh my gosh moment for you?
Let me think. Like maybe, oh my gosh, I'm drinking so much coffee now. You know, like I'm drinking so much coffee. Like I've never had so much coffee in my life. I've never had so much coffee. Like literally through undergrad, I did not drink coffee. Like, and not even that I was like a I'm not drinking coffee type of girl, but I was just like a like I don't know, I wasn't really wanting coffee. But like first year of law school, everybody was drinking coffee. Like that was the it thing to be drinking.
It was a hot new thing.
It was a hot new thing. And like not iced coffee. Everyone was drinking, like at least in my mod, everyone was drinking hot coffee. It's like steaming and everyone's like it's like black hot coffee. Like I was drinking like not even the little cute coffee thermoses. Like imagine a big, like basically a 40-ounce coffee.
That is so funny.
It is crazy. If you ask like my friends, like my closest friend too from law school first year, like she knows, like I carried around that big thing of coffee like all day.
But
and
why?
It was hot. I just
it
just felt like a rite of passage. Like you have your Fair. Books, you're in law school and you have your cup of coffee. Like where's your cup? You know, like Fair. Everybody had a cup of coffee, so I had a cup too.
Okay, and that's so fair. Also, I'm sure you like really needed it. Let's be honest.
I think I was losing weight and I didn't realize. Mm. And my friend was like, Bailey, you're it's embarrassing. And it's like embarrassing. But she was like, your legs look like they're as skinny as arms, pretty much. My mom told me after, like, Bailey, like, I don't want to ever see you
drink like another again. Cup of coffee. No. Bailey, you're banned.
I'm banned. Like, is it the coffee? Because, like, you know, when you drink coffee, you're not hungry.
You like, if you're doing crazy things when you start out, don't worry, it's normal.
So normal. So
should we talk about mods really quick? Because I feel like everything else we're gonna say, we need to know about mods.
When you start out law school, your first year, you are split into what our school referred to as mods.
Right. And that's like a group of, I don't know, what is it, like 50 people for us?
50, right? 60, something like that. Yeah.
I don't know if we had like a big class, a small class, but for us, it was like 50 people per mod. And you take almost all your classes with the same group of 50 people in your first year. And then in your second and third, it's all mixed. So it's different. First year, they like want you with the same people. It's easier to learn. I don't really know.
Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah. I feel like maybe it's easier because we're taking so many classes the first year too. It's just like keep the classes together instead of, you know, having to like swap. So
yeah, exactly. So yeah, when we refer to mods, it's like, you know, your group of people that you're in class with.
So obviously the first time you meet your mod and the first time you get acquainted with your mod is, or your group of people, or even like the 1Ls in general, I feel like, is the first day of law school.
Wow.
How did you feel on the first day of law school?
Ooh, I was so excited. I was like giddy. I was buzzing. It was definitely a pinch me. I do remember like, you know, walking over to my class and being like, oh my God, what? Law school? I'm in law school. This is crazy. Like that. And then I was so excited to see all the people, like who are the cute guys, who are the girls that I'm going to be all friends with and stuff. Like, I was just so excited. It felt, like first day of high school.
Yeah, I think I felt, I felt all the feelings too. I felt like this is so, it's not strange because I've been in school all my life. So this is just like, this is legit. Like, people are adults here. You know, people are grown and mature.
We're grown.
Yeah, I was like, we're grown. So we're studying, but we're grown. So I was channeling my inner girl that's in the movie when they're in school, obviously Legally Blonde, but any girl that's like in those huge like lecture rooms. I'm obviously here in a professional world. Like, I'm obviously like, I had to like in my mind be like, yeah, I did complete, you know, elementary, middle, high school, college, and now I'm here. Like,
you're
like
counting
like
it.
I did like all one, the steps.
Yeah.
I'm like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, I did that. So I guess I'm here now. You know, and I think that's how I felt. It was kind of a crazy feeling. It is honestly surreal.
What'd you wear your first year or your first day?
My first day? Okay, so I went straight through from college to law school.
Oh,
I was in like the little skinny jean phase. And really, I felt like, you know, my jeans really couldn't be tight enough. You know, it was, did you ever have that phase where you were just like, the tighter the jean, the better?
Yeah.
Yes.
Those jeans?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had
so
that
cute.
Phase.
You know? I prefer obviously a low rise, you know, bigger jean now. Comfy. But
yeah, same.
Yeah, I was in a high rise skinny jean first day of law school.
Classic.
And I had on these like black like tennis shoes and a black shirt. I mean, I went with an all black look. I just I think it felt like black feels professional to me. It's like less, you know, it's less to look at. So that's what I wore. What did you
wear?
Nothing like too exciting. Yeah.
No, I wore black too, but I wore a black dress, like a midi dress with sneakers because dress and sneakers is like always a vibe to this
That's
day.
Cute. That's still a vibe. Yeah,
that's still a vibe. I came to slay my first day and I probably did. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. You came
I'm
to slay.
So obnoxious.
You came to, right. You're like, look at me in my dress.
Look
I'm
at
also
me,
wear
all the cuties. Yeah.
Right. Wait, where did you sit when you got in the class? I feel like that energy feels like you sat in the front.
It's so funny. Okay, so never the front row. I can't do the front row. It's too scary.
Wait,
so
we didn't even explain like the classroom setting. Okay, it's a lecture hall. I don't, like, some of my classes in college were lecture halls. And then, of course, like, throughout law school, like, you'll be in smaller classes, and then those classrooms will be more of a classroom setting, you know, typical. Yeah.
On the 20, like, the big ones, I was, like, fifth. I was, like, eyesight. You know how it goes up like that? It was, like,
okay, yeah.
Yeah, level.
Oh, okay, eyesight.
So that's, like, five, okay. six, seven rows in. But the four okay. to five rows, I was, like, two usually.
Maybe I was always fifth. In the back. Yeah, oh, okay. I was always, mm-hmm. like, closer to the back, except for this one class, which.
What class?
Everyone was wrong for that. But I feel like in the back, you can see better. I like to, like, when people are raising their hand or, like, talking, I like to see who's talking, what's happening, you know, because when you're in the front and everyone's behind you, you know, you don't know who's speaking.
No, you turn around and look.
That's
no?
No, that's like, I don't want to do all that turning around my neck and everything.
Oh, that's so funny.
Every time.
I don't like the back because people are talking and I'm like, which one of you is speaking right now?
Oh, really? You can't tell? That's so funny. I feel like
and
I
then
can
also
tell,
when
like,
you talk, also when you talk, everyone like whips their head around and you're like, whoa, like there's like a million eyes looking at me.
No. Oh, see, again, that wasn't us. Like everyone just faces forward.
In torts, I was sitting like back row. Mm-hmm. And remember that case? It was like one of the first cases we read. And in the case, it was like Samuelson or Smithson or something with an S, whatever.
Yes, 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 yes.
Mm-hmm. And I read this case night before, you know, getting ready to get cold called. And I got
classic.
Cold called for the case. Yeah. And so I'm like, all right, so this case is about a barge. And I say, I don't really know what a barge is, but, and before I could say another word, everyone whips their head around and goes, it's a boat. It's a boat.
Right. You're like, yeah, it's just a barge. I'll go with the barge
it's just
for
a
now.
Barge. I like, I didn't yeah. think to look it up before. If you're like, right. It's a boat, you guys.
Backing up for all of our new 1L first year law students, cold calling is what's also known as the Socratic method. But basically, it is what it sounds like. Cold calling, you're being called from the crowd
Knowing.
Without any notice. Yeah. yeah. Coldly. Without any yeah. notice, without any indication that you're going to be called that day, just kind of bam, you're sitting in class and then boom, hey, you yeah. in the back.
Answer like the this movies. Question. Like the movies.
Like the movies, exactly like that. Like that is real life, and most professors still abide by the, you know, ancient way of doing things. And so mm-hmm. we were a part of that our first year. So Hamase's yeah. like story had to do with cold calling. And so my little story about where I sit also has to kind of do with that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the one class that I did not get to sit in the back where I wanted to be was where I guess everyone in my mod had an idea about this one professor. We were taking constitutional law and he's a very well-known.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, everyone's heard about him.
I know. I did not. I did not hear about him before.
Well,
I
heard
took
about
the class.
Him when I got there.
Yeah. They knew that he was a super hard professor and he was just super smart and like he was definitely cold called everyone. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, like whatever. Like, I feel fine about it, you know? But what I didn't know is that we had gotten to class maybe 5 minutes early, which to us is like, I mean, that's early. Everyone mm-hmm. else had gotten there maybe like 15 minutes early. And the people wow. that were traditionally in the front, like the front row, the gunners of our mod, they were in the back. Why are you in
gosh.
The back when you should be in the front? You've been in the front for every single class and now you're in the back. And so we were like, what's going on, you know? And it was the strangest things. So to see the gunner people, like the and gunners is kind of basically the people that are, I don't even know how you explain a gunner, but basically
really
the tryhards.
The tryhards, yeah.
The pick-me's of the class. They're just in the front. So imagine the pick-me's of the class are in the back.
Yeah.
Okay. And so there was no other seats but to be in the front. So I'm talking about the very first row
gosh.
In the very, like, you could, I could touch the oh, podium no. with my oh, finger. No. I was that close.
Okay.
Yeah. I got cold calls in that class and it
like
was
a lot.
No, one time. And okay. one time was enough. Yeah. Because,
oh,
Yeah. It was like crazy the way I got called. So he was like known for being like, okay, this person say this argument or argue for this judge. It was constitutional law. So we were reading like cases that happened that came out of the Supreme Court.
Right. So already so said,
okay,
hard.
Judge Ginsburg said this. Now argue against her or argue against her classmate that just argued for Judge Ginsburg or something. So you had to be like, this may have been a class where whipping your head around would have been necessary because you need to like keep up with the argument so that you can go back and forth with the classmate that just argued for, you know, on one judge's side or whatever. To make a long story shorter than it felt, it was the Obamacare case. Other students who took his class said that this case was like his favorite case and he really like goes in on this particular case. So I had taken so many notes. I can't even tell you, like I took pages and charted it, you know, my way that I chart things.
Yeah.
It was color coordinated. Every judge, their concurrence, their everything, okay, was in the chart. Okay. So I was like, I'm ready. I sit in the class and we're going through class, blah, blah, blah. And at one point he just says, you. Because he didn't even know, he didn't even care about anybody's name. And I was like, me? He's like, yeah, what's your name? I said, Bailey. He said, okay, well, you know, what judge do you side with or something? And I was going through my notes, okay?
And there
pages
was nothing
of notes. Nothing was coming to my brain.
Nothing. Yeah. No, that's how it is.
Zero words.
Blackout.
I couldn't think of anything. And then somebody in like one of my classmates behind me was like, Ginsburg. So I was like, Ginsburg? And he was like, okay, why? And I was like,
Oh my God.
Back to my notes where I was just scrolling. And my best friend was like, Bailey, I saw you scrolling through those notes and nothing was clicking. Like, girl, you were just running through. And I was like, I might as well had not even read the case because didn't get anything. I thought I got everything. And when he called me like that, I didn't know anything. And then I just said,
what'd you
do? I didn't form an opinion on that. Yeah.
And he was like, you said
that? We'll form an opinion right now. Mm-hmm. That's what I said. Girl, I could not think.
Oh my God.
He challenged me hard. And then he was like, well, do you agree with her? Do you not?
I don't even know what she said. I don't even know where she
I don't even know what opinion she had, to be honest.
What did I say again?
Where am I? At this moment, what's happening right now? I
was like, where are we?
I was like, I want to leave. But it was so crazy because it was. I couldn't even feel shame or like shyness or embarrassment because I literally couldn't even.
Yeah, I couldn't even feel anything. Yeah, oh my gosh! So crazy. You will be shocked. I have a very similar experience to you.
Really?
My crim professor was like, okay, you know, did you ever hear about?
Yes, I heard of her. I heard she was hard.
She as a person, very cool, but as a professor, like. Tough, mean, stern.
Really?
Like she was like, you better get it, you know, like you better get it.
Because she wrote those books that we read.
Yeah.
Didn't she write that book? Yeah.
She's written books that we had to read and everyone knows about her. She's like a Harvard Stanford professor, for some reason came to UCI for like one semester.
Classic.
Yeah. So I got cold called and I answered the question. I actually answered the question. And then she was like, good, moves on, keeps talking. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? And I literally raised my hand. Like, I'm blacked out. I was so scared as I was answering the question. I looked at my notes. I said something. I blacked out. I have no idea what I said. So she's like continuing to talk and being like, yeah, so this is. And I'm like, I literally raised my hand, blacked out. I raised my hand. I said, Professor, I'm so sorry. Like, I actually don't know what I just said. And the whole class just starts cracking up. I swear.
Did you raise your hand and say that?
I was so blacked out.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, what? Because she started talking. I was like, what are you talking about? What did I just talk about? Like,
I don't know what you're saying because I don't know what I just said.
I don't know what I just said. So I can't continue this conversation. So I just interrupted her really quick and said, I actually don't know what I don't understand what just came out of my mouth. And she's like, everybody, everyone started cracking up, obviously. It was so bizarre. Honestly, like the pressure that you're in and like, you know, exactly how you said, like you just,
oh my gosh,
brain it's, out the door, no idea like what just happened.
It's so crazy. Like it was in so many times, like throughout law school, like with or throughout the 1L year with that class, that group of people, we started getting more comfortable with each other. So we would help each other, or some people would just say straight up, I didn't read today. So by the time I got to like that moment where I blanked out and I couldn't even think about anything, we had just become so comfortable with each other, like as a mod. I think everyone had pulled their weight like throughout the, you know, throughout the first couple like weeks being called. Yeah. Everyone was nervous, you know, everyone said some sort of answer.
Yeah.
And we just started like our pride got, you know, we had to leave the pride at the door.
Okay? Seriously, because no.
Leave it at the door. It doesn't.
It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. Like sometimes yeah. I don't even know what I don't, it would be hard to even speak English. And it's like, I speak this language. Why is it hard to even?
No, it's so true. We didn't talk about how much you have to read to prepare for that day in class. Like you might have only three cases for this class, but you're spending 3 hours on those three cases, you know, and then three cases for the next class and the next class. And then it's so much information. And you're also trying to figure out like, how am I going to get through the sheer volume of what I need to get through today?
Yes.
Like what am I supposed to know?
Right. And yeah. Those first couple weeks, it feels just like you're a little bit drowning. You have so much to read. If you didn't think mm-hmm. like, if you don't like reading, this may not be the right move for you, because there's so much reading and each professor is like, yeah, read my 100 pages of stuff and my stuff is more important than the next professor. And you're like, wait, I have to do everything all within like 2 days. And for me, like I'm still not like a super fast reader. Mm-hmm. So just like you said, getting through the sheer volume of stuff is just a lot. You need your coffee.
If you're starting out, like it's so confusing. I don't think I knew what I needed to know about a case until the end of law school. Like, dead ass. Like, iRacking didn't make sense to me yet, even after the first year.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah.
Is that how you felt? Or did you, like, get it?
I got the order. Like, I love to, because I work that way. Like, I love to have, like, the different color highlighters where I would just highlight the issue, highlight the thing. The problem that I had was, like, I could find all the points, but I wouldn't know how to use that information. You know, my different professors wanted to know different things. Like, sometimes they were just like, what's the issue? And I'm like, oh, easily I can, you know, I know what I highlighted. I know whatever. But then I had other professors that were like, okay, what's the implication of this law and what does that mean? And that's where I was like, whoa, like, I don't know the law. That much to tell you, you know, what the effect of this is. Like, I can only tell you what the rule is.
Right.
And if outside of the actual, like, verbatim text, I don't really know, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think you're just trying to, like, it's a lot of I don't knows. Like we said, oh my gosh, it's a lot of I don't knows at the beginning because you just don't know. And I think it's okay. Like you said, you kind of are always learning throughout law school. And so the first couple weeks you're for sure just taking in so much new information that, you know, it's okay to feel like you're, you know, you're drowning a little.
I was a question asker.
My hands stay down because I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, what am I asking a question about? I don't even know what's happening. But I prefer to like take it all in, then take it home and then like try to figure it. I just like to try to figure things out. Like even if I start a movie in the middle, I don't like to go back to the beginning. I like to just figure it out, you know? But I love people who love to ask questions because those people help us not get called on because you guys have so much to say.
Well, see, I think that's why I did not get called on, because I think I spoke enough. Surprisingly, there were people that asked more questions than me and I was very restrained, but still I wasn't shy to ask a question, which bit me in the butt once. I remember I really pissed off this teacher, but he was an asshole. He was a complete asshole. Yeah, we were learning about it was CivPro. We were learning about supplemental jurisdiction and subject matter jurisdiction. And I was like not understanding I was just not following the conversation. I mean, Steph, listen, all this stuff is so hard. Like, I was just not following.
Yeah.
I got the two mixed up. And so I kind of like raised my hand and asked, like, I don't get what you're talking about. Cause in the textbook right here, I was like reading, I was pointing to the textbook. I was like, right here, it says exactly the opposite of what you're saying. And that really pissed him off. He was, he like screamed at me in front of, like, to, you know, when that happens and everyone's like frozen, it was like that. It was so mortifying. And then, crazy. Like, for some reason, 5 seconds later, he like re-screamed at me. I just remember it being terrifying. And I was like, whoa, maybe I should have just shut up and listened. But I guess I just like, I was so innocent. I was like not trying to be disruptive. And then he like emailed me and it was like, I need you to come to my office. I thought he was going to apologize. I thought he was going to apologize to me.
What did he want?
He said, I'm worried about you. He said, I'm worried about you. I go, I went there for an apology, and he said, I'm worried about you. I was like, I couldn't speak. He said, I'm worried that you're not understanding the subject matter. And I was like, yeah, I'm not.
Right.
And he was I'm worried you're going to fall behind. I'm worried that this and that.
What?
And I just sat there and like stared at him. And like this, mind you, this was like, this was his response to screaming at me. Like, I'm telling you, it was such a scary moment for everyone that it was like a thing that needed to be discussed afterward. And so I thought he was calling me into his office to discuss how it went down. Instead,
I apologize for yelling at you like that. I lost my temper. Yeah.
Exactly. Instead, he said, you're dumb. He said, you're dumb. That's basically what he said. And I just said to myself, just listen and say thank you and walk away. And that's what I did.
Well, I can't even imagine being, I mean, that happened to me one time in my life. And that teacher is still to this day, like that was my like fifth grade history teacher.
Stays with you.
Yeah, it stays with you. You're just kind of like, oh my gosh, because we're pretty likable, I'd like to think, you know? And it's like, you don't need to yell. It was the same thing. Like, I was asking questions. And I wonder why, like, I mean, this was like back in my, I used to ask questions a lot when I was like younger.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it was her. She shut you down.
It was her. She shut me down. And I said not never anymore. Again. But she was like, literally she told me after class, she pulled me after class as well.
No.
And she said to me, and I quote, if you want to play games with me, we can play. I was like, straight like that. I was like, must have been.
You were in 5th grade?
Yeah, I must have been like 10. And that's did she so play games all year? Yeah, she was nasty. Like she would call on, like we would do like round, we'd be in, like in a circle and pass a little ball or something and say something or whatever it had to do with the class. I can't remember. And she would literally walk and grab the ball and skip me and give it to the next person.
What?
Like everybody knew, like she did not like me.
An adult to a 5th grader is wild. An adult to an adult? That's wild. Like, what, sir?
And then you want to call me in and say, like, yeah, it's not because I apologize. It's not because I was wrong. It's just because you're dumb.
Yeah. Like, what?
What?
Classrooms are learning environments. Like, it's supposed to be a place where you feel safe enough to have the conversation and ask the questions. Yeah, don't go overboard, definitely. But, like, it should be a safe place to figure it out, you know? And I just, I felt like I was punished for trying to figure it out. That's what we mean when we say 1L is such a roller coaster, because you'll have moments like that. And then you'll have moments where, you know, you're like meeting your new best friend forever. Like there's just so much newness happening. And so, yeah, it's just a roller coaster. Do your best and stick with it.
Yeah. Like we spoke about our mod. I feel like each mod had its own personality. These were our first friends. We didn't really, you know, interact with the other mods until later, I feel like, in 1L. Mm-hmm. So our school had three mods, like the 1L year, or R1L year, it was Mod A, Mod B, and Mod C. Mm-hmm. I was Mod B, which stands for the best mod. I'm just kidding.
That's so funny. Okay, I was Mod A, which is the first letter of the alphabet. So
right, but first is the worst, second is the best. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just so kidding. Funny. It's so funny. Like, so we ride funny. Hard for our mods, you guys.
We really because, do.
Yeah. We became friends because we had to do what was crazy and interact with other mods. But outside of that, our mod was our best friend. Okay, so Mod B, just to give you guys an idea of the personality, like, we were just chill and cool. Everybody was a friend to all. Like, even our professors, thank God. I mean, your situation was crazy. We honestly, all of our professors, like, loved us. And they all said that we were the best class that they've ever seen. I'm just kidding. Yeah. And they were just like, you guys are so unique. You guys have something special. I think it's because we worked well together. We were always, like, you could sit next to anybody and be comfortable because we were all just so close.
Kind of the same. Like, I felt so comfortable with everyone. It was definitely like we all let our personalities shine through. We were not scared of expressing ourselves. We were like, we think we were known as like the smartest and most social.
That is so funny.
The outside perspective has a different idea, but I'm going to roll with our thoughts. Like, I think we were really like super, super smart. I mean, everyone was smart, but I'm trying to, I don't know even how to say it. Like, we were just like, wow, we're so gifted. And then we were also like extremely social. Like, our mod was, I'm just going to say it was the party mod. I loved being in Mod A. I felt like I was with my people.
We had a strong opinion about Mod A because you guys were just, how to put this nicely. No, I'm just kidding. You guys were just like the definition of pick me. You know, you guys just came off so, like, a lot of you guys as individuals. I have no problem with you guys. But as a mod,
as a group,
you guys were just a little bit, like, I think you guys thought, it was obvious that you guys thought you were like the
the shit. No, when I say the narrative was, oh, they picked us for a reason, you know, that's really what, they picked us for a reason.
That's how you guys walked around, because I have a distinct memory when we were in class, Mod Beers. Now, we're smart, but we're that kind of smart where you're just like, you don't see us coming, you know, like, we're not loud with it. We're just low-key. Mod A, you guys are loud about it. You guys were like super loud about it. You guys are loud about it.
We're like strong personalities for sure.
Yes. I think you guys had a lot of strong personalities. And this particular moment, 1L year, I think we were in like Civ Pro or something. And our class ended. And before our teacher even finished, I promise you, finished the word, like, you guys are dismissed for the day. You guys were like, it's 1:30 on the dot. Like, we're entering the classroom. And I think I remember at one point our professor was like, we're not done. Like he's finishing his words. He has to dismiss us before you guys can come in the class.
No way. But there's no way that was me.
You may not have been there. I don't know, but it felt like, you know, the one classroom that was, what is it?
Like, right next to the student lounge area?
Yes. And there's two doors, you know, like the one in the front and the one in the back. So you guys would just infiltrate the whole classroom. I remember one time you guys were like coming into our row while we were trying to get out and back up and grab our backpacks and stuff. Like, you can't, I mean, common sense says you can't sit where I'm currently seated. But not my heirs.
People are like, they are trying over
to
you.
Sit on top of me. Yes, like, I'm like, I get it. This is your seat, but I have to get up. You guys, like, everyone's pissed at you guys. No. You guys are doing way too much. Like, that's, it was killing me.
But you know what's funny is, like, I knew nothing, and I say nothing about Mod B and Mod C. Nothing.
That's what I'm saying. You it guys didn't were matter. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To go back there now, it's so funny because I didn't really know you then.
Yeah.
But I wonder what part you played. I wonder if I had like passed you and I was like, ugh.
I definitely wasn't a kick you out of the seat. Like, that's so not me.
But we appreciate that.
Yeah. No, because I run on PSD. Like, I'm late. I'm late. Okay, yeah. I'm coming in, yeah, like, right when it's starting. So I know that. I think I was so, like, la-di-da-di-da, like, in my own world. I probably didn't even
realize.
No, no, I don't think so. And I was so just, like, happy to be with my friends that I, yeah, was just, I don't know, I didn't see anyone. I didn't care. I just wanted to, like, hang with my friends, you know?
Yeah, you become friends so quick because you guys are just, like, bonding in every moment.
Question for you. Did anyone, yeah, in your mod drop out of law school?
A lot of people in our mod moved or transferred.
Oh, really?
They didn't drop out. They transferred. But nobody – I don't – well, if they dropped out – no, no one dropped out. We were – like, I would have known if someone left.
Yeah. I think we had – yeah, I think we had – people drop out and then like a few people transfer later, like, mm-hmm, after the first year, like, mm-hmm, three people or something, but a few people dropped out. But I was proud of them for dropping out because, you know, it's, I always thought like it's a good thing that they dropped out now and didn't do the whole thing and then realized, oh shit, I don't want to be doing, yeah, this, and, mm-hmm, just were true to themselves and said, this is not for me. I'm going to like move on and try something else. Like, I thought it was really admirable because it's not, it's so scary to like make that decision.
Yeah, no, it is. It's kind of like you did all, you didn't do all of this, but you thought you were going this way. You know, you're just kind of, mm-hmm, changing your path. Were you friends with those people? Or did you talk with them about like,
yeah,
and when they were like deciding whether or not to drop out?
I was really, really close with the two of the three people I can think of. Yeah, I mean, it was really just we were in it and I thought nothing of it. And then I think with both people, it was kind of like there was this point where they told me like, this is just not for me. Like, I didn't come into this for the right reason, or I just don't feel like I'm doing this for myself. I think for one of them in particular, I remember it being about, I came here because this was the expectation from my family and I'm not going to be entertaining that anymore. Like, I'm going to do me for me. So that was,
mm-hmm. Yeah. One of those, like in the movies, you know, when you say, this is not my dream, it's yours.
Exactly. Kind of moment. Mm-hmm. Super admirable in my opinion. You know, yeah, it's like, especially at an age, like you're still, I mean, we were both young and these people that I'm thinking of, you know, they were like, either fresh out of undergrad or like just a few years out. So it's scary at that point to like do all the things to get into law school, start law school, like get to know everyone and then be like, okay, I'm making the decision to drop out. That's bold. But if that's what, you know, okay, now I want to speak to the audience. Let's say there's anyone else listening that feel like in my gut I know that this is not what I want to be doing, you know, it's listen to your gut because it is your life, and it doesn't get any easier when you graduate and get into practicing. It only gets harder. So if you're not enjoying it, then maybe it's worth listening to that and don't be ashamed of it.
Yeah, but what would you say? Because I feel like it's kind of hard to, especially first couple weeks, first like semester of law school, you're really in the weeds, you know? So like, what would you say, or like, how would you tell people like how to know when they should drop out versus when they should keep going? You know, like it's hard, but keep going versus it's hard. It's not for me.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a really good question. I think that it's a combination of give it a little bit of time. Like don't, you know, even if it's not feeling right in the beginning, maybe give it a semester. I think pass through a semester. And then I think that eventually I would imagine that it gets to a point where you can kind of tell like this is hard but worth doing versus this is hard and in my gut I don't feel right about it. I feel like when you get to that point where you see the difference, it's almost like when water and oil mix, it's like so clear that when you get to that point, that's when to start listening to your intuition. But you're right. Like in the beginning, it's so hard. Don't drop out just because it's hard. Because, you know, that's not a good reason. It's hard for everyone.
Yeah. I think like by the time you go to law school, like I said, you've done, you know, whatever, pre-K, elementary, middle, high school, college. At that point, like you should kind of know a little bit about yourself in that, like, obviously you've gone through hard things. Like at that point, you've been alive, you know, for that long, you've gone through at least like one, if not multiple, you know, hard situations in life, just because life is not always easy. Mm-hmm. And I think you know, your, even like sports or whatever you may have done, like you kind of can maybe tell like when something's hard and you don't want to do it, but you know you can, you know, mm-hmm. you know you can push through versus this is just like not for me. Mm-hmm. Like, not that it's hard, but it's like even more than hard. It's just something that doesn't really align with what I want or what my dreams are or what I envisioned. And because for sure, I think law school is different than what I envisioned, but still, I think I knew like at the end what I wanted to do and the people that I wanted to serve. And so I kept going, you know, despite it being hard.
It was worth it.
I think you have to know yourself. You know, I always tell people, like, you have to know yourself when you go into law school, any professional graduate program, like, because you just need to have that, like, guide, like, to keep you kind of grounded, you know, when things get hard.
Yeah. And I guess on the opposite side of the same coin, I remember now that we're talking about it, when it was getting really hard, I just kept telling myself, like, keep your long-term goal in mind. Like, don't forget why you're here. Don't get like so caught up in the pain of the immediate moment to like forget why you came here and how excited you were to be here. I think that really also kept me like going, is knowing that like I did choose this for a reason. Even though last episode, like I made it sound like it was just, like I'm just doing it, which it partly it was, but no, like I did think about it before I went in and I knew when I was going in, like, oh, this is actually right for me. So don't lose sight of like your long-term goal.
Yeah, I think that's true. And then I think I would, when it got hard for me, I would remember, or like kind of just remember like when I first got into law school and how I felt, and I was so like emotional and so just like thankful, you know, to God for like me being able to get in. I was like, this is crazy. The first law school I got into was in California and I was applying from Louisiana. So I felt like, oh my gosh, like, am I going to be moving? Like, all these new exciting things. And I kind of remembered that feeling. And I was like, I'm living in like, you know, an answered prayer right now. Like, I'm living in a moment that I always wanted to have. And so I don't want to just, sometimes it's so easy to like think about your future that you're kind of forgetting where you came from. And it's like, I'm want to be present, you know, in this moment. And so I'm like, this is a moment that I wanted. This is a moment that I was so excited to be in. And so let me just keep going. Maybe this is, you know, it's not all great, but that silver lining, you know, I think keeps you going too.
Yeah. Love it.
That's what I would say.
I think this is a good place to end for today. If you guys have questions for us as you're starting out your semester, please feel free to let us know. We'd love to answer.
We'll touch more on 1L year and different things to look out for as we move forward through this season. That's a wrap for now.
It's a wrap for now. Good luck out there, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye.
Bye.